Hi, this is Icon Art Radio, and it's me, Bill Teeple, Alan Cobb, and Donna Colby. Again, we're all here, and we have another guest in the studio, Elaine Duncan, a longtime resident of Fairfield and artist all her life. You've made art.
This is true.
When did you first begin to make art in this lifetime?
As a child, I used to sit at this blue wooden table in my bedroom. My brother and I shared a bedroom, and we would both sit at the blue wooden table and make drawings of our fantasies, and we would put words to them. The fantasies usually revolved around our stuffed animals and dolls.
What a direct link to your adult work.
It is amazing how there is that thread of continuity that starts at childhood and goes all the way through.
Did it ever stop? Did you go through other phases after the fantasy animals before you came back to fantasy creatures? Or
well, I in a way I did. When I was in college at UC Berkeley, I branched out into kind of strange, weird, more creatures from the subconscious, not known animals, which, of course, little stuffed bears, we all know what those are. And also creatures that would come out of the sky, of a more kind of universal aspect. I did pieces that involved painting and sculpture all connected together.
But always creatures?
There was always an element of that, mm-hmm. and tending towards that area of art that is undefinable, that is non-representational, but not really making the jump until recently.
Until recently, which your recent work, your piece in the women's show, is to me stunning, and just as much personality, has just as much personality as the creatures. It just dances and vibrates with life, that piece. I'm very delighted by your new work.
Everybody's really liking that. Yeah. So I think you've taken an interesting and popular direction here. But it's true. But the thing is, the life in it is her soul. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of these creatures of hers are popular, that she's created, are herself and her expressions of herself. And so this thing is an abstract condensation of that. And that's what I'm getting, because it's so full of... See, your work has always had humor and whimsy, and all of the deep issues of composition and color and form. But there's always a kind of a humorous, it's like laughter itself being given expression. And this is like laughter, this piece.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like laughing.
Is. Yeah.
And it's hard. How do you capture that? I mean, you did it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how any of this comes about.
He'll join the crowd. That's the one point we've come to here.
Yeah, after we've never gotten
shows,
a different answer
we've
to that
come
question.
To that conclusion.
How do you do it? I don't know.
That's why I feel so at home here, because there seems to be a growing number of us who sit down or stand up, however we begin that creative process, and it's a kind of a humble allowing of whatever energy, or if you're doing image, whatever it is, whatever media, to flow through you. And basically, my job is always to stay out of the way and let that happen. And of course, that has its interesting facets to it too, because there's part that watches and says, well, what are you doing that for? And then there's one over here that says, well, just leave it alone and let it happen. And then there's the silence that enters in, and the piece just unfolds. And so the most, I would say, fascinating and compelling part of that creative process is being so completely aware to making each step from a place of truth, allowing that energy to express itself. So often I will, during a piece and at the end of a piece, look at it and have no idea what it is and feel completely naked and vulnerable from it.
I wish the listening audience could see your hand gestures as you gave that beautiful little monologue. I love the expression humble allowing that you started with, but your hands danced in a similar way that your paintings do. As you, I don't know if you're aware of that or plant of it. It was beautiful to watch the art of your hand gestures just then.
That was a little, just happened. A little bit of
I think you summed up, as far as we've been able to ascertain, what you've just said really summed up our understanding of how the process works. And it's so it's just amplifying to have an artist come in and just say it in regard to their own work.
There's an intriguing dimension to this too, because I always see an element of playfulness in your paintings and drawings and sculptures. But it's playfulness that even in many cases verges on mischief. and the idea of like getting out of the way and not being a part of it, and yet somehow at the same time expressing playfulness and even mischief, seems either a contradiction or that it reveals something rather surprising about the nature of things.
Well, it's mischief and because I thought you were going to say mystery when you started saying miss. Because it's mischief and mystery, and the mystery part of the mischief is this deep unknown, I think, that flows. You know, so it's like your personality playing and dancing with the indefinable mystery.
But there is the paradox that Alan is referring to. In other words, I could be painting something that is very full of mischief and humor and whimsy, as Bill was saying, and be dead serious in the process of it. So serious, I'm not even aware that that's what I'm putting down.
That's cool. I hadn't taken it that far. I didn't realize. I was, because I was sort of thinking of asking, you know, how much are you aware of it? Are you thinking, oh, this will be funny, you know? But you're not.
But I think your personality. See, this is, you know, you've made art since you're how old were you at the little blue table?
Oh gosh, oh. Five?
Well, you were an artist, see, at five, and you've been doing it ever since. You went to Berkeley and became trained in art. You have a developed vehicle, which gives you the opportunity then, at this stage of your career, to get out of the way and then watch it happen. Without that trained vehicle and you being on this art track for so long that it's just imbued into your personality and your way of functioning, you might not be able to do this. Some people talk about getting out of the way, and then what happens is sort of like a mess. But when you've developed this path for so long and the vehicle, then you're prepared to get out of the way, and then it's the mystery takes over. Mm-hmm. And I think those of us who have been involved with art in this way for so long and can talk about this, and other people can only sort of like listen to us talk about this, but those of us who have been doing this understand this thing about the mystery, and the paradox just looms at that point between what is individual and what is universal, what is my personality and what is that, those aspects of the universal personality. And this is so much in your work. Mm-hmm. I feel like you are the trickster. Mm-hmm. The universal trickster, the universal questioner, the universal question mark and humor,
Coco-Belly.
And at the same time, an expressor of incredible beauty. You know, just beauty itself is in there too. There's so many elements in your work that I admire, and I'm just completely stoked, as we say in California, with this recent piece, because you've like distilled all of that into a completely abstract expression. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty cool.
Wow.
But then we can loop back onto all of these different phases and see that it's all been in there and each thing can be cherished.
Because it's that paradox that's in all of the works that, you know, probably even was there in the works that you did at the Blue Table that make people want to look at it and look at it not sure why they like it, but something's happening, you know, and they stand there in front of it and just want to drink it in or communicate with it somehow because it has that range in it. It isn't just something you've strained to try to make some pretty picture. It's like something magical is happening that...
Yeah, and with you, I always feel like you're a, well, you're a shamanic. When we talk about the role of the artist and his her calling, and it being a role of the of a shamanic role, and you're definitely right, an expression of that. In fact, you feel like a magician woman walking through the town to me, And so I feel, in fact, many, I think you're going to be looping back, and probably you've experienced this in your work, you loop back on things. And it's like you touch in to an archetypal area of the universe that has a certain flavor, and it's very unique to you. It's like you go to these certain places, and you come back with something from that place. Mm-hmm. Then you loop over here, and you loop, and then you loop back. And I just keep feel like you're going to keep delivering little snapshots of these places for us all, as on into forever.
You spent some
so
time.
Thank you so much for being who you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying all these wonderful things, which I am staggered because I don't normally think, you know, on this more conscious level that much about my work. I just go in and kind of do it. There was something about that. The looping back is a really interesting process of how it happens and what it is, because in a sense, and I'm sure all of you have that as well, the looping back experience. When I loop back, it's almost as if I'm not aware that I'm looping back, because each step seems so unique and each piece is its own entity. And generally, what seems to happen when I'm making a quote series is I don't know it's a series. And then I get down the road maybe 10 pieces and I realize, oh, there's some kind of bigger theme here going on. Mm. So that's, I'd like to hear you comment on that.
It's a looping back, it's sort of I see it as a spiral, not a looping back like a circle where you come back to the same place, but a looping like a spiral that's continuing
to go. It's a spiral. We
go,
just have not,
you know.
Started. I mean, I think about this a lot. But it's always like this, and it's a spiraling towards some kind of unity.
Right.
Well, I can't remember the name of the painting that you had at Gallery 51 when I first arrived. It was... A dancing figure with dark glasses on.
And fishes.
Yeah, and little fishes nibbling
at
her legs and arms and legs. But as I've gotten to know you better and see more and more of your work, I can't help thinking that was a self-portrait.
Well, the
sort
thing
of
is,
a dancing, you know, a dancing shaman kind of thing, but wearing these 1950s dark glasses.
But this, is bringing up that point that started to emerge a bit ago, that it's hard to distinguish all these figures and creatures from her.
Yeah.
She's really in there. I mean, everything about you that I know as you walking around seems to be given these expressions in these different ways in your work. Mm-hmm. So it all is kind of like a self-portrait.
Mm.
More so than other, I mean, we could say that about every artist, but in your case, I don't know, it's just there's such clear expressions of kind of personality.
And world, you know, I mean, because even when you talked about, I mean, a little girl and your stuffed animals and you had this imaginary world with the stuffed animals, when I looked through your portfolio and saw all of the different creatures and characters, you know, all together, it was like, I want to go to that land and meet all these. It's like a fiction writer. I'm writing a novel, and all of my characters, none of them are modeled after me specifically or any person I know specifically, but they're all in me. Mm-hmm. All of these characters are totally in me. And I saw that with you, too. It's like you have this wonderful populated world in your consciousness that you're very graciously allowing the general public to meet. And, you know, most people don't get to meet other people's imaginary playmates. But in your case, you allow everybody to meet your...
Well, she came in to do this, and she started doing it at 5 at
the
new
table. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's very interesting, because I've never thought about this. This is all coming up at this moment. That's kind of...
Well, what's interesting in the process of making a painting is there's no set procedure that I ever follow. It's all going by internal impulses. So if you're observing it from outside, you would think a lot of the choices I make in its construction are nuts. You know, for example, going in and filling around a lot of shapes that have been put down when, if I had mentally conceived it, I would have put down a background and then painted the shapes on top. But it can't be that way. Mm. And part of that is it seems that when a painting is being created, it's actually a kind of an energy matrix that's being formed. Mm. And even when something is put down at some point that is covered over, that impulse is part of the energy matrix. And at some point, and with each piece it's different, something kicks in and the energy comes in and inhabits the painting. So the painting on one level, as I see it, and this is a perception, is it's a structure that allows a certain kind of energy to come in and exist.
Wow. Yeah, this is right. This is right. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Very amazing.
So for that, I think
when,
that's...
When are you adjusting then until you feel like you've created the home and then you sort of watch it come in, or you watch it... I mean, it sort of takes seat there and you say yes?
There is a dialogue.
Is there a point at which you feel like, yes, I've structured the house, and then there's somebody living there?
I think it's the same thing that every artist feels when something feels complete.
Yeah.
There's something inside of you that just settles in, and you sit there, you view it for a while, you let it sit for maybe a week or two, and that experience happens again and again, and you know it's done, you know.
Can you talk a little bit about this shift recently from doing the creatures to this abstract, delightful, cosmic stuff that, like, the only piece I've seen of the recent work is the one in the women's show. So when did that phase start, and how did that come about?
That actually started probably began around 2003 and was largely prompted by Bill. Mm. Bill looked at some pieces I did, particularly a little 9x12, which was abstract, verging on looking like a plant form. And he looked at this one section of it and he said, that is going to be with you. That is really, there's something going on there. And sure enough, it turned into dots, it turned into circles, it turned into patterns of roundy type organic shapes. And at some point in the last 2 years, I just couldn't do figures anymore. Hmm. Just would not happen. And it you know, I tried to do flowers, and it would all go towards shapes. And it just, you know, I just can't do that.
Another natural spiraling.
Oh, the process of getting out of the way, you know, is always surprising, because if you weren't getting out of the way, then you would, quote, know what you're doing. But if you're getting out of the way, it's sort of by definition, you're saying, okay, you do it. And then it's a question of who it is that actually does do it. And yet they do it through an individual, so it comes out, you know, flavored.
Yeah, yeah. And that comes back to what Donna was saying about the particular world any one of us shares with everyone else. It comes through that filter of personality or individuality.
And it's a generosity. It's like I used to worry that being an artist was selfish because it was so much fun. You know, I was like in my little room doing this stuff and just having so much fun. I wasn't out becoming Mother Teresa or something like that. And until I realized that the people who I feel have given me the most amazing gifts are Cézanne, Picasso, you know, these people who have devoted their lives to expressing those things that were within them. So now I feel like, no, being an artist is something that you really have to do to give that gift to other people. Every artist gives something that inspires somebody else's creativity or just changes their perception of the world in some way. And the difference, the variety is just astounding. So that's what, you know, I feel like your gift, all of these things that you're doing and your growth pattern and your not being able to help what you're doing next, it's all a gift to the world.
Yeah, and I believe we are turning the corner where society will cherish your gift and our gifts more than ever. I mean, I think it's remarkable that the arts exist. And that culture allows a place for the arts where we can become that intimate with each other in a given arena. Mm-hmm. And I think that as time goes by, more and more that will be appreciated.
Well, that's a beautiful thing that you said, that allows us to be intimate with each other because it's a language. Art is a language that allows us to communicate in a different way than we can with words. Mm-hmm. And or gestures, or, you know, although art can be gestures too in dance, but the kind of communication that happens between people in art, like when we go have our film nights and all whole group of artists together watch some artist's work, the whole room is energized by that and everybody gains something different, but at the same time we're all sharing this intimate experience of personal deep creativity. Mm. And that's what I'm feeling here in this room today. All of us have loved your art for all this time, but there's something of a different dimension happening in this room today, talking about your art and watching, you know, just seeing it. It communicates on its own level. We're communicating with words. We're feeling also some energy that's happening right here while we're talking about it.
And it's the value of an arts community and the collective consciousness that grows in a community that is where this is happening.
Yeah.
The all the great art movements and special moments in art history have come out of a community where this kind of energy started to multiply exponentially, and I'm feeling a sense of that here in Fairfield. And we think that we say that that's what ICON's all about. Art ICON's not a gallery. It's this total contemporary art domain that we're involved with here in Fairfield.
And it is unique from my point of view, because I have had works in galleries in Arizona and Chicago and other places, California, for example, and Iowa. But the thing that is unique about ICON is that community spirit you're talking about. In other galleries, there's kind of a shadowing of the monetary value, which of course has its place and is important. But here, the value of truth, the value of the true expression of the artist is first and foremost. And that makes such an incredible difference on the feeling level.
Well, we've been working hard to try to have that be the first and foremost reason for it. And that's why ICON is in my mind, the ICON gallery is not a commercial. I've worked hard to have it not be a commercial gallery, but to be a non-commercial, like mini contemporary art museum. But it's even beyond that. We're actually starting to push the boundaries of these things here, I think, a little bit, and pointing at the heart of the matter. That's what I want to frame with ICON, is the heart of the matter. And I think that's what we've been discussing today, and I love it. Let's say a couple of things. You will be part of the next, we've had a grand opening show, which have been artists that we've been working with over the last couple of years. And in the next second part of the grand opening show, we're going to have, we're going to be looking forward to shows we might be doing in the future. Mm-hmm. And we actually ran out of artists. At 27 artists, I realized I had too many artists. And so you're kind of crossing the boundary between people we've worked with in the past and people we'll work with in the future. But you'll be one of the people featured in that exhibit. And she's got a wonderful piece that I have not seen, but I can imagine it's wonderful in my head because she's told me about it. And I'm not quite sure where we're going to put it, but something that snakes all over the room. So you can look forward to seeing that.
That opens in July, is that right?
Yeah.
That show, yeah.
And right now this piece that that we've been referring to, that I think everyone should come out and see, is part of a small show that I've also squeezed about 27 artists into that little gallery up above. It's been known as Icon 2, but now is known as Teupel Hansen Gallery.
When can people go there and
see
those?
It used to be just open for the art walk, but we've gotten women to sign up to sit in there in the evenings, Friday and Saturday night, 7:30 to 9:30. Mm. Through the extent of the show, which will be something like the 24th, 25th, something like that. So
and that's
after the movies or before the movies, come up above 21st Century Bookstore and have a look. So we got a minute left.
Yeah, let's see. masks, that's a part of your work we didn't talk about.
We haven't even touched the surface of Elaine. She's
the whole ceramic area, which is one of my favorites.
The masks were being done at the same time a lot of the kind of mythically inspired paintings were going on. And they come from the same place. Just I would go in with the clay and just let it come out and form however it wanted to.
Yeah, the masks are an especially strong blend of mischief and mystery.
Yes.
You're not quite even sure whether they're safe to have around.
They won't hurt you.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.